Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, that's just the bottom line. You know, nothing else to say. We turned the football too many times. That can't happen. And the only way you get that is you can negate it and get your own turnovers. And we got to get more. And we got to go out there and we got to play, you know, protect the football and do better, make better decisions with it.
That was Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris following the team's 17-13 loss at home yesterday to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Sure, yeah. No, he was spot on with a lot of things he said afterwards. And I know that he, is a big believer in Kirk Cousins. And will continue to be, but I know that's a conversation a lot of Falcons fans are probably having today.
Well, I keep thinking back about the things that went right yesterday, and you create a turnover. First time your defense is on the field, you knock the ball out, you strip it, you end up converting it into a touchdown. Second time this year at home, your defense has stood up and not allowed an offensive touchdown, and you're 0-2 in those games. And that is remarkable. And then you look on the other side, and there's games where you've given up 30 points and won at home. And it's because your offense was there. So it's very head-scratching because your defense has been brutal down for a stretch, and your offense has now matched them in being brutal.
You kind of had different expectations coming out of the bye week. Like, you kind of thought this team was going to look different, and that's not what happened, at least offensively.
I was excited about what the game plan was, at least till the second half. I thought that Zach Robinson very clearly in the first quarter went in with a different game plan than he had in previous weeks. There was play action. There was a quarterback sneak. There was draw action in the backfield. We talked about earlier they ran a wham play in the first half that we have not seen pretty much all season. There was an ability for this offense to keep the defense off balance, and I thought that's why you saw them. They marched down the field, they missed the field goal, and then they go right back after the turnover and go back and get a touchdown. And I thought, man, we were off to the races right now. Like, this is exactly what you do in a bye week. This is exactly how you want to see it drawn up from Zach Robinson. This is exactly the imagination and the ingenuity that you want out of this offense. And then, for whatever reason, it's like the further we got into the game, the further we got in the second half, continue to do some of the same things that we were before the bye week. We started running wide zone every run play, which some good, some bad. We were still running it efficiently. It is what it is. And then you go back to straight dropbacks from Kirk Cousins because he throws an interception on a play action pass. So it was a number of things that went wrong. It's not like you can put your finger on one thing, but you definitely have to check Kirk Cousins' stat column when you come away from the game.
Speaking of Kirk Cousins, he joined Dave Archer. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Kirk, coming in, knew these guys were pretty salty defensively. What made them so tough and tough to kind of figure out throwing the ball?
Yeah, I thought they made a couple nice plays, but obviously also feel like we made it a lot easier on them. And when I say we, I mean I got to play better. Kind of goes without saying, but was disappointed in the game I put together, and it hurts right now.
Yeah, you got some guys that stepped up around you. Ray made a couple really big grab for you. Tell me about those guys. I know you had a lot of confidence those guys distributing the football.
Yeah, Ray's a great player, and he continues to show up when we give him opportunities, and love the difference he's made for our offense. Bijan as well, Mooney and Drake. did a great job today competing. I felt bad. I got to give him a few more opportunities. I think Mooney, you know, there was some that we left out there. No fault of his, just, you know, giving him more opportunities so he can help us.
I know you're trying to get ready for your next offensive series. Pretty good effort by your defense today. Yeah. 189 yards of total offense, five sacks.
Yeah, the defense was outstanding, and that's partly why it does hurt so much, as you feel like they played winning football, and they gave our offense every chance to keep getting the ball back. And so, proud of the way they played, but disappointed we couldn't help them more.
No question, you're maybe the leader on this football team. Tell me about what the mindset has to be. I know you got to flush it, mm-hmm. but you got to be a team concept as you get ready to go play Minnesota.
Yeah, pro football, you have to, good or bad, you have to, you know, walk away and be able to get back on the horse and get ready the next week and treat them all as, you know, standalone events. And certainly we got a challenging opponent and a challenging place up ahead. And I got to dig deep and play our best football, in the last five games.
As always, thanks for your time, bud.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep.
Just a tough loss. And as Dave, who former Falcons QB and analyst for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, had just pointed out, they're going to face now a tough Minnesota team. And that's not going to be easy coming off a loss like this.
You love the messaging too from Kirk Cousins because you believe everything he's saying, right? And that's what stinks about the entire thing is you know it matters to him. There are guys, and we've all seen them, and there's been guys that have played for the Falcons, even some currently, where you look at it and go, you know, I really don't think it matters to him. You can tell from listening to Kirk that this, like, what a tough interview to have to give. And I think that's why you hear some of the teammates. I mean, everybody's seen the cut from Drake London yesterday where he's asked about, you know, his confidence in Kirk Cousins, and his word was unwavering. Unwavering. He said he's the best leader, he's the best teammate. We have full confidence in him. And I think the reason that his teammates react like that is because of, you can just hear that somber nation, that somber notion in his voice that, like, I just did not do enough today and I didn't play well enough.
Yeah, I walked in. We went to dinner last night at Cancun's afterwards, and I walk in and I see some people there that I know. First thing, so, what likelihood we see Penix play? And it's like, doubtful.
I've already seen headlines, and I wasn't going to be the one to bring it up on the show. So
I think, well, look, I mean, I don't. I think all of us understand that Kirk, you know, just financially and as far as being a leader in the locker room. But I don't fault anybody for asking the question.
No,
I don't think you can.
It's not, that wasn't what I was. You know, what my point was. The point is that that's the thing that I know. I said as soon as you saw the draft pick come in, you do realize if he ever has a game where he throws more than two picks, I guess it turns out four. And they don't win, and they don't win because of that. This is what's going to start, and that's the situation you put yourself in. I don't think that there is any thought process up 985, I guess I should say, of benching Kirk Cousins when you're about to go to Minnesota to play one of the most blitz happy defenses in the NFL. On the road in one of the tougher environments to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think, look, the comments have come out from Derwin James after the game yesterday. Derwin James says, hey, we did a great job of giving Kirk Cousins different looks, disguising things, making him uncomfortable, making him uncertain. I can only imagine if he's doing that to Kirk Cousins, what a rookie quarterback feels like in that situation. Now, look, I think there's a lot of upside to Penix. I think you can probably do some different things with him offensively. You can move him around. You can hold the backside of defenses on some of your wide zones the way Kirk Cousins cannot do in the bootlegs. So there is upside. I don't fault anybody for asking the question. I just, if you were going to make a move, to your point, this ain't the week. Like, that's not where you want to send him. That's not where you want to send a rookie quarterback for their first start. I think Kirk Cousins gets every opportunity to make this work throughout the end of this season.
Now, what happened? Now, I think it could be a different conversation if you get into if you get to halftime, you're down by 3 points or something like that, and Cousins has turned the ball over more than two times. I think that could be a different
this
conversation.
Season, I mean, you're talking about this weekend.
Yeah.
I think I agree.
I think that could be a different conversation because I think at that point, sometimes a break is good for a guy. And sometimes, you know, look, man, we gotta go this. And look. The last thing you want is doing like that. The reality is you improved in almost every facet of the game but one and ended up that cost you the game. It's just – we talked about this 2 weeks – I think maybe 2 weeks ago. You got to get one of these games against Minnesota or the Chargers or Washington.
Yeah. Got to get one of them.
You just got to get one. you almost got great help from Carolina. Bryce Young did everything he could, and Baker Mayfield did everything he could to lose the game at times, because at times he didn't make some good decisions. Yeah. And Bryce Young's growing up in front of our eyes. That's the other thing. That's the scary part. Bryce Young is growing up in front of our eyes. Carolina ain't going to be a given in week 18.
No.
And they're not going to be a given next year. They're good. No. They might be a factor. In fact, you might go back and look at it that next year, Carolina might be the third team in the division that you think is the tough out, and New Orleans might be the fourth.
Yeah. It was. I'll say this. You're watching Kirk Cousins struggle yesterday, and then Goforth and I get in here, and we're doing the postgame show. We're talking about the struggles of Kirk Cousins, and I look up, and Baker Mayfield at one point to start that game is like 2 of 9. And you think Dave Canales knows what Baker does well and what he doesn't? Because Baker, I think when he was playing here, started like 12 of 13. So Dave Canales, nice job yesterday in getting Bryce Young ready to roll, and that offense kind of starting to get back on track. And so you're right, man. That's, you look at the schedule, you look at the quarterback play and everything else that's going to come in this final month. You fell apart last year in December. Can't happen again. Can't happen again.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Is Saquon Barkley the league's MVP? He sure is playing like it. We'll go in the huddle when we come back and give you the NFL headlines next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift, getting you set for the Hawks and the Pelicans in the NBA knockout round tonight as they try to fight for their seat to get the NBA Cup. Tip. Pre-tip starts right here on 92.9 The Game at 7 o'clock for your pregame stuff. And then 7:30 is tip.
Yeah, not quite an NBA Cup game tonight, Tiff. Knockout round starts next week. But they did win their group stage over last week when we weren't all together, able to knock off three straight. You lost three games.
Cavaliers.
Yeah, you lost three games against Golden State, Chicago, and Dallas, and you're just feeling bad about yourself. And we mentioned Luka didn't play for Dallas, and you're losing all these games. And then In the craziest of Hawks ways, you're able to put together one of your more complete performances last week. Actually, two of your more complete performances last week in back-to-back games against Cleveland. You pull out both of those games. And then a scare against Charlotte over the weekend, but you pulled that one out as well. And now you're staring at that NBA Cup. The NBA Cup to me is like that tweet that somebody puts out that you're just like, yeah, dude, everybody knows that. And they're getting the engagement they want to out of the tweet. There's just a lot of people going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's the NBA cutting me. Like, it's normal basketball games. And you're like, yeah, it's a basketball game. And at the same time, they're getting engagement off the NBA Cup. So hats off to them. And I guess with the Hawks being one of the final eight teams, we'll all be paying attention to it. But I think knockout stages start next Tuesday. So be locked in for that. But, yeah, the Hawks tonight against the Pelicans. See if they can keep the heater going.
Let's go in the huddle. We start in the NFC South because you had the Panthers and the Buccaneers going at it. That game went into overtime as the Bucs take it 26-23. But Bryce Young is looking pretty good. Like, things have turned around for him as the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers.
Definitely. He's made some strides. He's doing a nice job kind of stepping up in the pocket. He's actually, I don't know if you guys remember watching him last year. There were very, very few throws across the middle. And it seems like whatever they've been able to find with him and Dave Canales, over the last few weeks, it's he's throwing across the middle. He's stepping up. He looks as confident as he could possibly look and just getting the ball down the field.
Adam Thielen's been back, so this is his second game back. So that's been huge for them. He had been dealing with a hamstring injury as Young threw for almost 300 yards, 298, a touchdown pass. He was 26 of 46.
Adam Thielen made one of the best catches I've seen year, a one-handed snag, ball away from him. He's falling one way and is able to reach out with his, I believe it was his left hand, and snag it. I don't know what else to say. I think you just nailed it. I saw Bryce Young, and when we played them up there, Bryce Young came by Arch and I, and Arch spoke with him, and we stood there for a minute with him, and he didn't look broken or anything like that, but he looked like, just the look on his face was like he wasn't content with his role. And I'm not saying he was, and I'm not saying anything bad, but it was just like, you know, they wanted more. The Bryce Young I saw yesterday on the field and off the, and standing over on the sideline looked like a completely different person. He's like, your point to the confidence. He looked like he was kind of like, he looked like he was a leader and a veteran at that moment. And it just, I said it, I think it's, I said it, maybe it was you I texted, Mike. I said, Bryce Young's growing up in front of our eyes. And it's, as a Panther hater, It's kind of cool to see because he's been hated on a lot. And some of it maybe a little bit too quick and a little bit unfairly.
And I reached out to a Panther source last week ahead of games, and they were talking about the message to Bryce was just don't put us in bad situations. And also just looking at his demeanor and body language, they too noted how much he has grown.
Isn't it just there's a point in every young quarterback's career, I think, especially when they've been struggling the way that Bryce Young has and the situation he's been, where all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and it goes, yeah, I can do this. Like, it just seems like the last couple weeks, it's like, yeah, I can do this. This isn't too big for me. I'm not out of pocket or out of my comfort zone. This is fine. I'm playing quarterback.
That was the biggest thing for me is you talk to guys. I think it was remember Dave Pasch is before the draft, before he was ever drafted. It was during the NFL season because Pasch is not only a ESPN play-by-play guy, but he's also one of the NFL. And he said he was like, man, he's so smart football-wise. Like, you have no clue. He is just on top of everything. And you saw him play in the NFL, and I was like, well, he's not making smart plays. Where's the smart guy at? I know that he's in there. And whatever has happened, he feels comfortable where he's thinking, right? And he's processing things. And that smart, that football IQ is now being seen on the field, and he's making plays because of it. That play where he stepped up and made the touchdown throw to Thielen, I mean, that's a guy that just kind of feels comfortable where he's at on the field, understands where his receiver is going to be, with what the coverage is doing, and makes a play.
Let's stick in the NFC South and talk about the Saints. They dropped their game 21-14 to the L.A. Rams.
Yeah, the once hot
the
Saints.
Once hot, yeah.
The interim coach bounce is now gone because they looked pretty putrid yesterday on offense.
Putrid.
Yeah, no, it's Taysom Hill, unfortunately, leaves the game, has to be carted off. I hate to see that. I know that he's a Falcons killer, but to me, he plays the game the right way. So it stinks for them. That continues to be a little bit of a throwaway year down in New Orleans, which I don't think anybody up here is shedding tears over.
Man, how good does Saquon Barkley look for the Eagles? 24-19, they won against the Baltimore Ravens. Some people calling this a preview of the Super Bowl, what could be the matchup. He looked downright like he was the MVP and was even in Baltimore getting some MVP chance.
Yeah, he continues to be good. I would push, and I know it's not your words. I know it's what a lot of people are saying. I would push back on that because I don't think you can forget the fact that Kansas City's 11-1 and Buffalo is now. Buffalo clinched their division last night.
But some were, you know.
Yeah, I don't think Baltimore. This Baltimore team is near as good as it was last year. I think a lot of it is on defense as well, and they needed their. You know, their offense didn't play up to its capability yesterday.
Yeah,
but Saquon stepping up when they absolutely needed him to help try to put this game on ice. He had over 100 yards and one touchdown on 23 rushing attempts, including some one of those runs. I mean, he just looks ridiculous out there. And then you also had Derrick Henry on the other side. These were two guys that had met in the offseason at one point. About the, what was it, a running back meeting? Or was that even the year before? It was a meeting of like
Yeah, the year before Austin Eckler and all those guys. Yeah.
Devaluing the running back.
I was just about to say, Tiff, with all apologies to Bijan and Josh Jacobs, this is the best two running backs in the NFL going at it in this game. And it was fun to watch. And both of them struggled kind of out the gate. Numbers not normally where you'd want to see them. But Saquon ended up with the 107, like you said. I got another name for you. You talk about don't forget about Kansas City. How about Buffalo last night and Josh Allen and all the things he continues to do? Only throws 13 completions, but man, he is such a gritty player, and he deserves a lot of that recognition as well. And I hate it to be the good quarterback on a good team, but he just seems like he's not getting the love that he needs for a 10-2 Bills team that was absolutely dominant last night.
Well, let's move on to that Sunday night football game in the snowpocalypse. It was 35-10. The Bills take it over the 49ers. And yes, Josh Allen is able to do everything for that team. You watch that great play with the receiver Amari Cooper getting the pass and then having the wherewithal to a lateral it back to Josh Allen, who then's diving in for the Superman score that you've seen him do so many times before, but he always seems to put the team on his back.
Do we know if they're building a new – are they already okayed to build a new stadium up there, or is that something that's still working
on? There, and they've already started construction
on it. Just
– same area, too. It's going to be up there in Orchard Park.
Yeah, I had them week one. And so it's just basically right across the – right across the way.
The videos of the fans shoveling, it's always endearing, but at the same time, I'm like, are we going to do this every single time it snows in Buffalo for just the rest of time? I mean, it's just, I'm like, can we not get some kind of system that, you know, I don't know, warms up the yard lines and some of the seats? Like, sheesh.
I'm sure they will. We know Green Bay has the system underneath the field. I'm sure they will. I agree with the Josh Allen stuff. Remember when their window was closed because they had released players and including Diggs and, you know, could Josh Allen make a bunch of just air quote what they called guys at the time, and they've replaced them and they got Amari Cooper now. Like, they're
being up there week one, good. You could sense the, and this is no shot at Diggs or anything like that, but you could just sense kind of like the weight maybe being lifted. There wasn't probably as much pressure to get the ball to maybe certain people. You had a receiver room and talking to the guys like Shakir on that team, just about how about how it's like they kind of acted as one.
Yeah.
And so it very much felt like this was a group that was going to be able to get them through this season. And so far, with the play of Josh Allen, they have.
Well, there are no tantrums on the sidelines when the ball doesn't come your way, even if you are winning. And they even got Mac Hollins a touchdown. Josh Allen got Mac Hollins a touchdown.
Amari Cooper got Josh Allen a touchdown last night. He lateraled the ball, and Josh Allen got a receiving touchdown for that. So good for him.
Hey, he returned it to Mac Hollins.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mike Dunn?
We got to have the conversation, guys. Flag planting in college football. Is it okay or is it not okay? Also, a Georgia DB transferring. We crying fair or foul in this doing this championship week. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's coming up on Mic'd Up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, I'm struggling this morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm struggling to come up with a complete list of all the fights that happened over the weekend. Like, I was sitting here going, okay, let me write these down. And I'll start from the top. I'm like, look, you got to go out there. You had scuffles all over the place. The worst one was Ohio State and Michigan. We talked about that earlier. All right. Penn State, Maryland, where James Franklin and Mike Locksley have the interaction at the end, where Mike Locksley didn't like the fact that Penn State was still throwing the ball. James Franklin's like, that's fine, but my threes and fours are in the game. They deserve to play. You had UNC and NC State on the flag incident where the the UNC player stole the NC State flag and threw it like a javelin after they tried to plant it. It was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So,
did you see Mike Norvell?
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to get to that now. The Florida State thing to me was one of the crazier ones of the week. Now, Ohio State, Michigan, definitely, guys, look, it was crazy, right? We're going to talk about pepper spray and everything else going on with that. The Florida and Florida State one, though, was spicy to me because Billy Napier, level-headed guy, you had the Florida State player digging up the logo last year and everything else, but Mike Norvell wasn't happy with the flag planting and everything else that goes on.
Oh, no, Mike Norvell.
Yeah. So I guess it brings me to my point. And there's a number of other ones. Alabama and Auburn got into it at times. There was a melee on the field with them, and there was a situation afterwards where two freshmen start throwing a ball at each other's face. There's an AD. Alabama's AD is holding back a freshman DB from getting in a fight. I'm like, that's not a good look.
We even had mascots fighting.
Mascots fighting all over the place. Is it okay to plant a flag at midfield of your rival's field after you beat them in a rivalry game?
I can go first, I guess. I think it's disrespectful, but you also did just beat them. You know, you earned a little bit. I think it can be done. I think you can celebrate in other ways.
Sure.
I go back to the one that I feel like Ohio State and Michigan kicked all this off, and I don't know how teams would know, but I just feel like somebody told somebody, hey, you guys, Michigan planted the flag. Ohio State, yeah, we're gonna do that too, and it just all of a sudden it took off because what's those dances where those people just. It'd be walking in the mall and then all of a sudden, was it Flash Dance or whatever?
Flash mob.
It felt orchestrated, right? All across the country. I go back because everyone was doing it and you didn't see it last year.
I know.
But I go back to something that happened last year when Florida State beat Florida. They ripped up parts of the turf where the F was in the middle of the field.
A little shovel in there.
And they also walked around with a gator head and taunted the fans. So Florida remembered that, and they planted the flag, probably because they knew Ohio State had done it, and that was the easiest way to get That hey, and Mike Norvell grabs it. First off, he's rude to Billy Napier, which, you know, that's fine. He just kicked your ass. Maybe you can be. But he was also – but then he grabs the flag from a player and throws it, which was childish for an adult in a leadership role in a university like Florida State to do. I'm sorry. I know it's easy to say because it's the rival, but he looked like a child out there.
So are you okay with him planting the flag? Are you guys okay with guys planting the flag?
I think you should find something else to do. I think it just if it's going to – I don't really think it's as bad. I think all of a sudden, for some reason, they saw – it. Got, word got out, Tiff, that Ohio State fought back, and so everyone was going to fight back.
I don't think you have to do it. I don't think it's necessary. Just celebrate your victory, shake hands, and get off the field because no one's going to let you do it. That's the thing. Like
you hope not.
Like, no other team is going to stand for you planting your own school's logo in the middle of their field on top of their giant logo. Like, it's just not going to fly. You already know what you're asking for when you go and try to start up that activity.
Well, and that's kind of where I land on it. Like, I was upset to see how crazy Ohio State Michigan got. But at the same time, if I'm an Ohio State fan and my players don't react in a bad way to Michigan planting their flag, like, I'm not happy with my players either. I'm as a fan or as an alum, I'm looking at it going, come on, man. Like, y'all might not show any life during the game, but you at least cannot take the disrespect afterwards. So I'm kind of in between on it. I don't really know how I sit. I'll be curious to see where college football comes down on this and how coaches react in the end. I will say this. At a time where it feels like allegiances are less than they've ever been in college football because of the portal and because how many times the guys move around, things were amped up in a way that I did not expect over the weekend.
Speaking of allegiance, nice to see.
No. It's just interesting.
I don't mean in a bad way, but nice to see that someone was loyal to defending their school when you have guys that.
That's what I can't decide. I don't think nice to see is definitely not the way to put it. It was not nice to see. But I think that there is a middle ground where I'm okay with things being amped up on rivalry weekend. It can't get to the all out state of affairs that we saw in like four or five games this weekend. Can't get that far. Rivalry scuffles go back all the way to the beginning of college football. It's just something that's always happened. It just seems like it was at another level this weekend. I bring up the allegiances because I want to talk a little bit just for the next 60 seconds about Julian Humphrey. Julian Humphrey puts out on it. He started 10 games for the Bulldogs this year at corner. He puts out on X over the weekend, hey, I'm entering my name in the transfer portal. Kirby Smart asked about it, and he said, I don't know. I saw the same thing you guys saw. I'm worried about the players that will be here in 6 days, 5 days, that will be facing off against Texas. Is it fair or is it foul at this point for Julian Humphrey to come out on Sunday of championship week and say, I'm out of here? I personally understand where he's coming from. I hate the timing. The portal's not open. You're in championship week. It feels like you're taking some of the shine off your teammates because you got benched. But it's a different era. I'm trying not to get caught I'm trying not to get caught in a time and place that might have been significant 15 years ago.
This is college football today. This is what free agency looks like. This is what the transfer portal with the NIL. This is why I think that the transfer portal should not be open until after the college football playoff is ended. And that's the thing for me because, you know, it would cut down on this.
That's tough too, though, because you're going to get to a point where they can't take classes in the spring if you wait too long.
Or then have it after the spring. Guys leave after spring practice, and that's fine. So I think you've got to figure out how to cut down this because it takes a system that's already flawed and makes it more flawed.
Yeah.
That's a
level-headed approach to this.
I think, yeah, it does distract from championship week. And if this is where the portal is now, this is the timing of it, then maybe
it's not technically open right now. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is maybe he's trying to get out front. You want your name already on the list so you can find a place to go.
Because doesn't the portal open after this weekend?
Yeah. I think it opens early next week.
So what, you know, yeah, he's playing in the game or maybe he's not. I don't know.
It doesn't sound to me like he's playing in the game. I don't think Kirby, that's not the tone I got from Kirby. Like, I know as much as you guys know. But you can't
complain for years about wanting these players to have freedom and money and then complain when they take advantage of the system that most of the people that are complaining about it screamed about how it was unfair.
But the problem with what you're saying is that you're talking about a fictional character that's playing both sides. There's a group of people that wanted this, and there's a group of people that didn't. There's a group of people that think it's okay, and there's a group of people that don't.
Yeah, well.
Two different groups of people.
Sometimes the people that, a lot of people talk out of both sides of their mouth, and more than not, especially about issues like this. And those are the people I'm talking about. They know who they are.
All right, you can weigh in by giving us a shout on the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Your thoughts on Georgia Dog hitting the transfer portal during championship week, or let us know your thoughts on what the Falcons need to do to get back on track. Wake-up call's next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.